in my current career, we used to go to Loch Rovers. I don't know how many of you know Loch Rovers. I think it's
Jonathan Healy.
But when we were there, from Newstalk, the old GAA hall, and one of the rooms, they used to have tutorials and actually didn't have a door to the outside property. So dogs would come in, and it didn't heat very well in the winter. So my experience of UCC is very different to this. I'm going to put it that way. So you've got the edge there. And when I was in UCC, this was a dog track. So, you know, I'm showing my age, as far as that way. It's a pleasure to be here, though. It's a pleasure to see so many of you in the room. And the amount of enthusiasm that's here is shown by the fact that you've turned up and you want to find out about the Ignite project. And I want to talk to the three guys. Pat, I'm going to come back to you, because I described to Pat earlier on when we were briefing him, he's going to be like the smoking man in the X-Files. He sits in the corner, and every now and then he comes out with some sage knowledge and retreats. So that's how we're going to use Pat. But we got a little bit of a feel there for the businesses, guys. But just to put a little bit of meat on the bones, Sinead, explain to us Anabio and what you're doing at the moment.
Well, essentially Anabio started from two patents that were in my PhD. So if you think of a Smartie, what we do is we pour the chocolate in, so we put ingredients like probiotics, colours, flavours, and then vaccines. And those Smarties are so small you can't see them. A person will take the Smartie in a beverage, in a cereal bar, whatever it may be, and that will travel through the body, but it will know exactly where to go in the body. It's a targeted delivery.
It's a smart smart.
It's a smart smart. So it's a bit like a DHL delivery service for your body. But starting off, we had the two patents, and now we have 10. And the whole idea of a patent is a piece of paper unless you go forward and try and bring it to the market. So that was the biggest challenge, was trying to come up with something novel. But then trying to bring that to the market and find a customer who's interested in it. So if you have something that's novel, normally you would think that's easy to find someone interested, but it's about bringing it then to the market in an economical way that people can actually sell a product and make a profit on it.
Okay, I've got to come to the road to that, because it's a really, really unique and brilliant product. But we'll come to the road to that in a minute. Brendan, you must be in fierce high demand at the moment amongst politicians. The timing is good. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it started from a final-year project, and I brought that on. So what it does is Feednect is a community engagement platform that helps businesses, organizations, and community leaders to connect and listen to their local communities. So we sell enterprise solutions for businesses, but then we have an off-the-shelf campaign toolkit called eCanvasser. So that's for politicians. So it comprises of two elements: a cloud-based dashboard and a mobile app, which can contains the voter files, so the politician goes up and knows who they're talking to, can write the reception, can take in queries, can take in certain demographics, and then that goes back to a dashboard and they can follow up on their queries, they can visualise all the data and run a series of reports based on the data collected. And that's pretty much it.
Is there a setting for turning the dog on you, or is it?
No, not yet.
That's it. That could be the next level up. Stephanie, you studied TV and radio and marketing. TV and radio, you've obviously decided there's no money in that because you've gone to set up your own company. So tell us about
On the QT is basically a tourism website, but it's a bit different. So we all have our own gems that we love. So basically, it allows you to share the places that as locals you fall in love with and you go back to again and again. So we do a lot of blogs ourselves, but we have it open to the public now, so anybody can upload their gems. And we also have bloggers just the past month spotted around the world. We've Southern California, Christchurch, blogs from India. So it's basically giving their experience rather than the marketing copying piece.
Okay, so in other words, it's not the hotel saying, come stay in my hotel, this is fabulous. It's people have actually done it and can honestly report that.
It's telling you, like, if you go to a certain restaurant and ask for it to order the knoffy pie there, because that's the best thing to order. So it's kind of the local tips that you wouldn't really get.
Okay. Well, I'm just listening to that. Three very different businesses, I think we'd agree, but the road you have taken has been quite similar. That's what I want to talk about next. Stephanie, we'll stay with you. I want to talk about the epiphany. The light bulb moment for you that you wanted to know, this is, I'm starting out my own and this is why. What was it for you?
I suppose I went on a J1 to the States and I was the only Irish person working a summer camp over there, and basically I got to know all the local gems around, and I came back and I realised people were flying into Cork, doing the Ring of Kerry, kissing the black back on a flight, but they weren't seeing our local gems. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then in Tralee, they would have focused a lot on setting up a business, and they kind of encouraged you a lot down there. So I decided to try my idea that I had while on a J1, and I suppose I entered the Young Entrepreneur Programme down there and got to the final, and then realised I could do this. So then I told my dad that I had an idea and that was what I was going for. So it was during that whole process that I realised, you know, this is a business that can go a long way and it can be global and scalable.
Was there one particular moment? Was there just was that J1 moment for you? Was it like this is?
I suppose it was coming up with the idea, so spotting that gap over there and coming back and just seeing those people get on a bus and on a tour and like they don't see the Ireland that we see at all. Like people over there think that we have leprechauns. Do you know, like we don't see.
We do. We just don't show them. and one of the things that stands out, remember there was the boatloads that are landing in the cove. And there was a bus came towards me one day, so visiting Blarney Castle and a traditional Irish village. And I just had my mind going, where are they bringing this? It's terrifying. Shane, tell me about your lifeblood moment.
I think I had many
lifeblood
moments, but I think the most important of them all would have been telling my dad that I didn't really want to go out and work in industry. I always had this idea that when I finished my bachelor degree, I said, I'm going to myself a really good job. And
be an employee.
Be an employee, yeah. And my dad is a very successful entrepreneur also. And he said, I knew the full value of work, and I never had a day sick that I called in. It was not allowed in our family business. So I went out and I started working, and I enjoyed it. But I remember working really hard on one specific project and presenting it, and it was scrapped. And I knew there was a lot of potential there. And it was just not acceptable for the client or whatever. So it was hit a nerve, and I basically spoke to my father about it. He said, well, why don't you not do something with your own technology for your PhD? Can you not do that? So it never left my head, and it was eating at me every day. So with the support of my partner and also my dad, that's how I bit the bullet. And it was, I think it's in my blood anyway. But
it was out of the because it was out of the failure.
It wasn't the project itself was not a failure. It was a great research finding, but it just wasn't appropriate for the client of the company at the time. So there's many research successes, but they're just not fit for the market yet.
Yeah.
Like they're not, like there's a time for everything, like you know Steve Jobs and Bill Gates will always say there's a time and place for everything, but and that's the nature of research. But I had a very clear idea from my whole PhD, the type of people that would be interested in the technologies, and I knew how I wanted to expand it. And I thankfully had many good people to advise me, so like Eamon, who helped me to write a good business plan, which was difficult.
Yeah.
But as a scientist, writing a business plan is the biggest pain ever.
It doesn't come natural.
No.
Okay, well that was a good moment. It kind of gives sums up some of the other issues we're going to talk about. Brendan, for you, when did you decide I'm going to go out on my own?
I suppose it came as a result of my final year project in 2011, graduated in 2012, and I came up with this great, it's going to be this great Hadoop of Twitter, and it's going to be unreal, and the project supervisor said no, and so then I went back to the drawing board, but in between they said no, and went the submission deadline, I went to pen this thing for a TD, and I forgot my pen, and I obviously didn't have a piece of paper, paper would have been useless, and I forgot, and a query came up, and I forgot where the house was, and I got my arse kicked from that TD.
Because they're a brutal bunch. God forgive me.
Thank you, this one. So that was just so I did a bit of research, and they were very clunky out there. So I said, well, sure, I'll do one for the final year project when it's grand. Did the final year project, and then the auditor of the ENS Society was setting up this entrepreneurial kind of dragon's den, I think Jane was the auditor, and I entered it. And one of the judges was Sean Sullivan, the
money always helps.
Leading up to final year exams, yeah. You know, have a great celebration. I think it was a week or a couple of weeks after the competition and for my final year exams, I met Sean in his office. He said, "Did you ever consider the Ignite program? That could be, you know, something that would be of interest." And I said, "Yeah, you know, I was doing what most graduates do, you know, trying to hunt down a job, you know,
yeah.
I should be set up in London, and like, you know, other plans as well, like, no interest in setting up my business, but, you know."
What, was there anyone in your family, like, the two lads have said their dads were entrepreneurs and that kind of spurred them on, you didn't have that?
No, a guard and a nurse, so, my sister's a nurse as well, so I'm really fresh.
Entrepreneurial
lecture. So, they've other words for me. You know, I went in and gave the lash, and Sean was like, "Oh, you know." And then over that summer, I took that €3,000 and built a prototype. I built an iPhone app, an Android app, and a dashboard. And none of it particularly worked that well, but it kind of proved to the enterprise board that I could actually do something.
Yeah.
And I built that credibility. So then I entered Ignite, and I built up a bit of traction with the help of Ignite, and we raised a round of private investment this time last year, and then we went into the US last month. So there's about 1,000 houses a day being canvassed using our technology.
Yeah, he's at US.
In the US.
Yeah, America's always great to break into. Westlife tried that, never worked.
And just over 1,500 houses a week are being canvassed.
Pat, I want to bring you in at this point, because I mean, that. You've three successful young entrepreneurs here, and that, the idea of parental influence, because obviously you've been an influence in Stephanie, but you know, a lot of parents are probably petrified.